Good morning, and a very warm welcome to worship here at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds in the north of England. Now, whether you're somebody who worships regularly with us at one of our sites in Bramley and Horsforth and Headingley, whether you just happen to be surfing the net or anything in between, you're equally welcome. We hope that you'll enjoy sharing worship with us over the next hour or so as we come together in song and prayer and to learn more about our Lord Jesus Christ through looking at his word. Just a little story, a true story. A little while ago, we were visiting a friend, and I think there must have been an article on the television or maybe in a newspaper, because we were greeted totally surprisingly with the following question. Why is it that some churches, yours included, seem to be flourishing? Well, put on the spot like that, you start to think, was it because we've got reasonably comfortable chairs? Or maybe it's because of the really handsome ministry team that we have? Or maybe it's the coffee that we serve? No, none of those, of course. But seriously, I found myself saying, I think it's because we make the teaching from the Bible absolutely central to everything that we do. There was a sort of explosion. What? You still use that book? It's thousands of years old. Well, yes, we do. Well, how much do you use it? Well, obviously, we read it on Sunday in our services. We study it in home groups. Many of us try and read it every day personally. Silence. Well, perhaps the New Testament, but obviously not the Old Testament. Oh yeah, the Old Testament just as much. Well, there was a raising of eyebrows and a sort of harumph. And then the conversation moved on. I hasten to say that we're still the very best of friends. But we do believe that everything that we read in Scripture has something to tell to us. St. Paul, when he was writing to his friend and helper, Timothy, said this: all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the men and women of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, our theme today is answering life's questions, and it's based on Psalm 73, which is, of course, in the Old Testament. In a little while, Megan will read that for us. She's going to read it in the New Living Translation. It's good to have different translations of the Bible because each one gives us a new insight. So let's just pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to sing together, to sing your praises, to come with our prayers of praise, thanksgiving and intercession, and to learn more of you as we study your word. We pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you will meet with each one of us and that we shall be open to hear what you have to say to us. Amen. Our song worship this morning is led by Sophie and Ed Barrett, and we'll join them now.
Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun, sun, tearing through the dead of night. See the kingdom burst into colors at the speed of light. Freedom shaking up the atmosphere as the shadows fade into nothing as the day appears. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on a Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever. Sun. Now forever lifted up from death to life. There's no fear in love and no darkness in His endless light. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the Savior, see the image of love, His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun.
Not against us, champion of heaven.
champion of heaven. You made a way for all to enter in. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. Crashes over me, crashes over me. You are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter. It's your love, wave after wave, crashes over.
Just as the Bible is of prime importance to us, so we also set a lot of importance on the value of sharing the Holy Communion together. And after our service today, those of us who can meet together on a Zoom meeting are going to share communion in our own homes, but indeed still together. The details of how to join that are on the pastoral update, which you will have received. If you're not receiving that pastoral update, please do get in touch with the church office and have a word with them. The details of that will be up at the end of the service. Now, in all our services, we tend to have a slot which we call the all-age talk, which we hope is accessible to everyone who's watching, children and adults alike. Actually, it's sometimes better than the sermon, but don't let them know I said that. So I'm now going to hand over to Duncan Stowe, who will take that part of our service.
Would You Rather is one of my favourite games. So I thought this morning we could play a little game of Would You Rather. So, would you rather this morning have had a delicious continental breakfast, or a McDonald's McMuffin sausage and egg breakfast? That's a difficult one. How about this one? What sort of car do you like? Would you rather have a comfy, practical family Vauxhall Sofira with lots of room to spread out in, or be cramped up in the back of a Audi TT, sporty and slick, but no room at all? Which one? How about this one? Would you rather be a brilliant football player ready to lead Leeds United to championship glory? Or would you rather be a pop star entertaining the nation with just a guitar and a foot pedal? How about this one? Last one, it's past 10:30, it must be snack time. Would you rather have for your snack a Mars bar or a packet of Haribo Tang Fastics? Well, which of those would make you the happiest? For me, it would be the McMuffin breakfast, the practical, comfortable Vauxhall Sephira. It would be being the Leeds United footballer. And I think I'm a chocolate man over a sweetie man, so I'd go for the Mars bar. What makes us happy is really the topic of this psalm in some ways. The psalmist himself is a little bit of a rock star. He's written loads of songs. And he starts this song by saying, "Surely God will be good to all who are pure in heart." And 20 odd verses later, he finishes the psalm by saying, "As for me, it is good to be near to God." But in between, he recognises the struggle and the temptation there is to envy what others have rather than to enjoy what you have. It reminds me a little bit of a story my friend told of being a grandparent going to visit his grandson over Christmas. He arrived on Christmas Day to see his grandson beaming with happiness, playing his new Christmas game, Rock Hero Drum Solo. Banging away on the drums, he played all day, oblivious to the noise he was making, but with a huge smile, and he went to bed happy. The next day, the grandson went to his neighbours, who'd got the same game, only he'd got the full band, not just a drum kit, but he'd also got the guitar, the microphone. My friend's grandson came home really sad. And all he did all Boxing Day was moan and complain and beg his parents to take him to the shops to buy the full game. Where had his joy gone? Where had his happiness disappeared to? He'd stopped enjoying the wonderful gift he'd been given and was envying what someone else had. The psalmist says that it is easy to live our life like one giant game of would you rather, always wanting perhaps what someone else has got rather than what we have, always wanting to be in someone else's shoes, have their life rather than the life we have. I'm going to finish with this little mystery. Here is a delicious slice of Victoria sponge. My mouth is watering. But this Victoria sponge would taste even better if it was eaten after a long walk or a cycle ride or something that had built your appetite up. God knows the mysteries of life. And he knows how to help us get the most out of all the things that we've been given. He doesn't want us to envy what others have, but to enjoy the gifts that he's given. And if we have a pure heart, God will guide us and help us to get the most out of every good thing around us. The psalmist says in the middle of his psalm, "Nothing I desire more than to know God." Once we know God, he will show us how to enjoy all the good things around us. I hope there's a piece of Victoria sponge for pudding today.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor and beast, we lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the dark
so you don't feel that this isn't real church. Just occasionally it's good to drop in a short notices section, and I want to do that today. First of all, I want to encourage you very much about the special church meeting that we're going to have next Sunday, the 19th of July. This will be a one-item meeting, and the proposal is that we elect Owen Carey-Jones as deacon and church treasurer. Absolutely delighted that Owen has felt called to offer himself for this role. He is a good and godly man with great financial experience, and he's willing to do this role as a volunteer, which is really exciting for us as a church. So I want to commend that meeting to you. As already announced in the pastoral update, that's going to be by Zoom in the Zoom after party after the service on the 19th of July. We do need you to come. It's obviously important that there are enough church members there so that we're corporate, and it would be really encouraging to see a good number of you on Zoom for that service. And the second thing to say is just to give a brief update as we move into a new phase of lockdown and more things are possible for us as a church in terms of physical meeting. By the time you see this, I hope that we will have had a short, socially distanced wedding service at Headingley for a lovely Mosaic couple. And I also hope that gearing up in the week ahead, so the week commencing the 12th of July, we will be reopening the Crag building for some, opportunities for prayer, for personal prayer. There'll be a prayer labyrinth that has been set up. So grateful to those who have worked so hard on this. Look out for the pastoral updates giving details of this. And I encourage you to come along and to use this time for prayer. As we move forward into August, we will look to do more midweek. There are possibilities of socially distanced physical services with a special focus on those who have struggled to engage online. We're exploring reopening our cafe in Headingley, and we want to see what we can do in terms of physical social distanced meetings during the week. As already announced, our online Sunday services will continue until at least the second Sunday in September, and we will be conducting a thorough review in August as to what we do after that second Sunday in September. It's important that we don't rush back to physical Sunday services for a whole range of reasons. We don't want to lose the creativity that has come into the life of our church in common with many other churches in respect of our online gatherings and the things that we've been able to do. And of course, we want to keep people safe. We want people to be safe and well. We want to preserve our reputation in the community. So we don't want to take unnecessary risks. And so I want to encourage you to continue to engage with these online services, to look out for what we can do physically. Feel free to offer views. You can email me, and especially feel free to be praying for wisdom, for the elders, for the deacons, for the things that we might be doing in the weeks that lie ahead. I do think that we have a wonderful opportunity to minister into a broken and hurting world in fresh and in new ways. And so please be praying for us as we move ahead together. And please plan to be present, if at all possible, in the church meeting next Sunday.
Let us pray. I weave a silence onto my lips. I weave a silence into my mind. I weave a silence within my heart. I close my ears to distractions. I close my eyes to attraction. I close my heart to temptations. Calm me, O Lord, as you still the storm. Still me, O Lord. Keep me from harm. Let all the tumult within me cease. Enfold me, Lord, in your peace. Lord God, you have taught us that we are members of one another and that we can never live to ourselves alone. We thank you for the community of which we are part, for those who share with us in its activities, and for all who serve its varied interests. Help us, as we have opportunity, to make our own contribution to the community and learn to be good neighbours, that by love we may serve one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. We hold before God those for whom life is very difficult, those who have difficult decisions to make, and who honestly do not know what is the right thing to do. We hold before God those who have difficult tasks to do and to face, and who fear that they may fail in them. Those who have difficult temptations to face, and who know only too well that they may fall to them if they try to meet them alone. We hold before God those who know that they can be their own worst enemies. We hold before God those who have difficult people to work with, those who have to suffer unjust treatment, unfair criticism, unappreciated work. We hold before God those who are sad because someone they loved has died, and any who are disappointed in something for which they hoped very much. When we walk through a veil of tears, take our hands, O Lord. When we dance over a mountain of laughter, clap your hands, O Lord. When we stand in the valley of decision, take our arm, O Lord. And let us know that always those everlasting arms are underneath. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing, my feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know? They ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I try to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. This is the word of the Lord.
We're continuing with our series entitled Psalms in the Key of Life. And we are looking at various psalms and applying their message to life today. And it's been wonderful to look at some really well-known and well-loved psalms. Matt has taken us through Psalm 23. Caroline has taken us through Psalm 103. And these are psalms that many Christian believers know and love, and it's been fantastic to have a fresh look at these well-known psalms. But it's also important to run the range of the Psalter and look at some psalms which are less well-known. The reading that we've had today, Psalm 73, this is a lesser-known psalm. And it is a challenging psalm. In terms of the categories of the psalms, it's a psalm of complaint. And in fact, these psalms of complaint are the largest category of all the psalms. So it's great to be able to look at one of them today and to apply its message to life as it really is. We see fairly clearly what the complaint of the psalmist is. It speaks about the arrogant and the wicked, those who are pursuing wealth in selfish, unscrupulous ways, those who are trampling on the poor and the weak, who are disregarding justice. And these are people who are also scoffing at God along the way. And the terrible thing that the psalmist notices is that these people seem to be going on their merry way without a care, and their way of life seems to be working. They pursue wealth in these unscrupulous ways, and they get more wealthy and they get more comfortable. They trample on the weak and the poor, and it seems to be that there is no justice. And they scoff at God, and God seems to be silent. Nothing happens. No judgment, or so it seems, falls on such people. And so the psalmist brings his complaint before God. I'm guessing that most of us, if not all of us, have thought in this way as we have looked at the world. Maybe you think about it as you look at the world in this time of COVID-19 and see the injustices that have been brought to light through this terrible virus. There are some who are wealthy indeed, who have pursued such wealth in unscrupulous ways, and they seem to be okay through this time of coronavirus. There are others, the poor and the oppressed, and what has happened is that they are more vulnerable. This virus has thrown into sharp relief their plight. What is God doing about it? Well, we might think seemingly nothing. Before we really plunge into this, it's good to notice one thing at the very outset here, that it's not wrong to express our feelings to God. Verse 15 is relevant here, I think. The psalmist says that if he had spoken in the way that he's spoken in verse 1 to 14 publicly, then he would have betrayed God's children. Indeed, the implication is that he would have betrayed God himself. But what he has done, rather than speaking publicly, he has poured out his heart before God. He has vented his feelings and his questions in a context where there can be healing, a safe place to speak out. Very often we take the opposite approach. We might express ourselves publicly. We might express anger and exasperation and frustration, particularly if we're an extrovert. We speak it out, and yet we don't bring it to God in prayer. And if you're an introvert like me, we're not off the hook, because although we might not speak these things out, this isn't the way that we process things, we play them around and around in our minds and effectively give rent-free space in our heads to those that this psalm categorizes as the arrogant and the wicked. And yet still, we don't bring these things to God. I'm a middle-class Englishman, and we are known for being fairly polite, and that can translate into prayer. We don't feel that we can express our feelings before God. We don't feel that we can bring our laments or our words of complaint. And yet we are encouraged here in this psalm to be honest with God. This doesn't mean irreverence. This doesn't mean raging against God. But as those who are followers of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, who are called into relationship with the one true God, we are those who can express our feelings, who can express our questions before God in prayer. So let's do that. Let's have real relationships with God. Let's have real prayer lives and express our laments, our complaints, our questions before God, and know him responding to us in prayer through his word, with his words of comfort and grace. What words of comfort and grace do we receive here? Well, there are essentially two things in this psalm. First of all, we see that the psalmist puts things in eternal perspective. We see that in verse 17, where the psalmist speaks of the final destiny of the wicked. See, it may seem that God is doing nothing. It may seem that God's people are pouring out their hearts to God in prayer. And in Pete Gregg's terms, God is on mute. He's not answering. He's not doing anything. But God sees not just the here and now. He is the God of eternal. And as the psalmist reflects and prays, God leads him to see things in eternal perspective. There's a story of a rich, unscrupulous man who died, and in his will, he had left instructions to be buried in a Cadillac motor car with an expensive cigar in his mouth. The executors granted his wishes. They had to use cranes to get everything in place. A large hole in the ground was dug, and the cranes lowered the Cadillac with the dead man in it into the ground. As this happened, one of the bystanders was heard to exclaim, "Man, that's really living." But of course, it isn't. Obviously, it isn't. We can live unscrupulous lives. We can pursue wealth over the backs of the poor. We can scoff at God. But at the end of the day, there is a reckoning. When living is done and we are face to face with God, there is a judgment to come. See things in eternal perspective is the message of this psalm. But there is another thing, and it's so important to us, because the psalm encourages us to know God and make him known, and to pursue God, to pursue our joy in God, and to share that with others. Just want to remind ourselves of what the psalm says in verse 23 down to verse 26. "Yet I am always with you," the psalmist says to God. "You hold me by my right hand." What a beautiful, intimate image that is. On to verse 24. "You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Just beautiful, beautiful words expressing the reality of God and the psalmist's desire to find his joy in God. And of course, we know what the psalmist didn't know so fully, that God, in his grace and mercy, has sent his Messiah, Jesus Christ, to make him known. He has given his life for us. He has died on the cross for us. He has risen from the dead, ascended into heaven. He's with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has left us his teaching, these glorious, glorious things. And we have these things, and we are invited to pursue these things and find our joy in them. And there is nothing, nothing in heaven or on earth that compares to this. Not all the wealth, not all the riches, not all the earthly power. God is more than all these things, and we're invited to find our joy in him. And actually, the pursuit of worldly wealth on the backs of the poor, the selfish ambition that can drive so many tragically and is there lurking in our own hearts, that is actually a futile search to find something other than God and to find joy in material things. And actually, our consumerist society, our materialist society, plays in to that. Earlier on today, I just took a little bit of time out and went to buy some socks. I needed some new socks. And going into the shop, obviously, it is lockdown easing, and you can now go in. And over the tannoy was the message, "Welcome back, treasure hunters." Okay, welcome back, treasure hunters, in this clothes shop. I have my socks here. They are entirely reasonable socks. They are very comfortable. I'm really happy with them. But are they treasure? Not really. But yeah, I'm not off the hook on these things, because I know that there are times in my life when I have been a treasure hunter for other things, and I have found my joy in other things, in idols. Yes, God gives us things to enjoy, but they are gifts from him, and we should receive them as such. And none of these gifts can take the place of God. What does the old chorus say? "Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more precious than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you." You know, it's really true. It's the message of this psalm. Nothing in earth or heaven compares to God, and we can find our joy in him. And as we do that, the seeming prosperity of the wicked, the seeming progress of the arrogant, becomes less significant to us. It shouldn't lessen our passion for justice and to be a prophetic voice in the world, but it does make us more content in God, in his Son, the Lord Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we recognize that if we have these things, we have something that the arrogant and the wicked can only guess at. Again, the old hymn, "Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know." Find your happiness in God. Pursue him. And that is a big part of the answer to these questions about the arrogant and the wicked. Actually, they're pursuing stuff that will fade and spoil, that will not last. We pursue something that is good and godly and wonderful and will last forever. Solid treasure. We pursue these things in significant degree by having the spiritual disciplines in place in our lives so that we can clear away the clutter and pursue God wholeheartedly. George Muller, the great saint of the 19th century, spoke about being happy in God every day. And as he came to God in prayer and Bible reading at the beginning of the day, his first aim was to be happy in God. He was a great intercessor. He would hammer on the gates of heaven, asking for God to bring blessing into people's lives, for God to touch people's lives. He loved to do that, but that was his second thought. It wasn't his first thought. First of all, he wanted to be happy in God. What does that mean? Well, for Muller, it meant going to Psalms like this one and recognizing the glorious salvation that God had brought into his life. It meant meditating on the Lord Jesus, on his wonderful character and his grace to us through the cross and the resurrection. It meant reflecting on the power of the Holy Spirit in his life and all that that meant, giving glory to the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being happy in God. As we pursue these spiritual disciplines, not as a means, not as an end in themselves, but as a means to the greater end of knowing God, may we be happy in God day by day. And may we share that joy with others. Verse 28, I will tell of all your deeds. We are happiest when we pursue God wholeheartedly and when we share that with others, when we want others to join us on the journey. Who are you telling of the wonderful deeds of God? Are you urging perhaps the arrogant, perhaps the wicked, perhaps the proud, perhaps those who oppress the poor, to turn from their ways and to seek the forgiveness of God and to know God's marvellous deeds in their lives? All the people who are mentioned in this psalm, whether they are arrogant or whether they are oppressed, whether they are rich or whether they are poor, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to turn their lives over to him. May we be those who share the good news by word and deed, by life and lip. And when we do this, yeah, we'll still have questions. Yes, we'll still have laments and complaints that we will bring to our God. And yet we will be more content. We will be fruitful. And as communities of God's people and as individuals, we will be like embodied question marks, a different way of living, a different way of being, speaking to all about the solid joy and the lasting treasure that none but God's people know. May we be people like that today and in the days ahead, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter.
winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, O mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chosen one sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, I know that it is finished. Resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
I really hope that you've enjoyed sharing our time of worship together, and that you'll feel that you want to join us again. It's clear that we shall not all be able to meet together in any of our buildings for quite a while yet, but we shall be here every week, and it would be lovely if you could come and join us once more. My thanks to all who have contributed to the service, to Sophie, Ed, Duncan, Mel, Megan, Matt and Peter, and our wonderful team of clever people who manage all the technical side. Let me close with the wonderful blessing with which Jude concludes his letter, which we find towards the end of the New Testament. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and for evermore. Amen.